Well, thank you, Sister Burke. The Bible says there's a time that coming that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. I don't believe that time's that far off. Maybe a little bit different this morning. Not only have you got the old leftover preacher substituting again, but I might even be a little different from the last time. One thing about growing old, you don't know what the next day is going to bring. Amen? I'm going to be just a little bit different. Open your Bibles or find the place. We're not going to read the text yet. Find the place in Isaiah chapter 57. We'll probably be majoring on maybe about three verses out of the chapter. Isaiah 53 is pretty much the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. You've got all the gospel there, and those that believe in the Bible codes believe that in code, hidden in Isaiah 53, is all the names of Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus. Yeshua's in there, in code. Every name of every disciple's in there, except one. Guess who? Judas. Judas is missing. I'm not dealing with that this morning. I just want you to find the place, Isaiah 57. We'll be looking at a couple of verses. I'm going to be a little bit different. I'm going to reference a book. I hardly ever do this. I came up here yesterday afternoon, went in the office. Yeah, they still let me have a key. And found a big box of books with my address on them. And it's a box of books for the college students. Now, they're not here. We're going to give them to them if the pastor approves of them. And these books called The American Poet, American Patriot, Wake Up America. And it's written by a man not so young now. He's in his 60s. But when he was about 20, Brother Roberts, raise your hand for me. Right here where Brother Roberts' hand's up. He said, we're sitting right there, came in, first time, got saved. Here, just a year or two before I retired, he showed up in the church office, and he's called me a time or two through the years. He's been well from the West Coast. He's called me a few times through the years and kind of kept up with him, and a unique fella, different spirit, different kind of lifestyle. You just wouldn't hardly believe. He come in the office, he said, come out here in the auditorium, preacher, I want to show you something. So I went out here with him, he went to about the pew where Brother Roberts is sitting, he said, right there is where I got saved. And kind of a unique guy. And he's written this book. Now he called me and told me he was writing it. He actually wanted us to print it here at church. We didn't have time to do it. So he got it printed. One of his friends in the CIA told him, you may get in trouble over that book. Well, he printed it anyway. Might have cleaned it up a little bit, but he printed it anyway. And I'm going to read it for one purpose, just to kind of introduce what I theme. He asked me to write a little statement about it, and I did. I said, I recommend this book by Andrew, whom we first met at his early conversion to Christ. Andrew was unusual, has unusual God abilities as a martial arts celebrity. To be in a gifted writer with a discerning spiritual mindset, these poems reveal truths that will make the reader pause and think. The next little caption here is written by a brigadier general, and he makes a statement that his poetry allows you to pull the veil of concealment to see the truth that's often hidden. See, Andy writes in nuances, and he writes in kind of a code that innuendos. Now, if you know your Bible, they'll jump out at you. If you know what's going on in the world, they'll jump out at you. And it's amazing how he can be so discerning and all of that. He gives my wife a lot of credit, too. I'll read this to you a little bit. Once upon a time, I noticed a flyer posted in a store window about an upcoming revival at a local church pastored by Mickey and Sonia Carr. She didn't know she was co-pastor. Pastored by Mickey and Sonia. I hope she's not listening. She's kind of sick. I don't want to make her sicker this morning. It is now known as the Landmark Baptist Church and College in Haines City, Florida. I didn't have a clue what a revival was until I sat in the front row getting saved under Pastor Carter's preaching, changed all the rules going forward. The beginning of an amazing adventure. He says, I have thought about Pastor Carter, his wife, and the worldwide ministry. They have touched so many lives in a positive way. I remember listening to Pastor Carter's patriotic preaching. Did I do that? I remember listening to Pastor Carter's patriotic preaching, warnings and encouragement years ago. He predicted the foreseeable decay of America as it is today. So I kind of agree with that. But I want to give you an idea. Now, these are poems. I've never been much on poems. I'll be honest. I read one. It don't rhyme when I get through with it. But you look for the hidden meanings in it, the innuendos that's in it. He's got one title, and all of them are like this. But you listen to this and just pick up a couple of things. The title of his Angry Asian Eyes. China isn't rising, it's already risen. Upon our distant battlefield comes 200 million. Been ready since 1977. That's when he first heard about it in the area of time he got saved out of Revelation. He says, here comes Armageddon. The Euphrates River can now be dried up. Brother Cruz, Jeff Cruz, and I was talking about that. He said, the Iron Lady warned us. That was Margaret Thatcher. Nobody listened. Just push a button. That's the dam they have built. You read about the Euphrates River drying up in the book of Revelation, chapter, 16? I guess 9 and verse 16. He says, we're buying things cheap. They're using our cash. Building more weapons and jeeps gives me the creeps. We've warned in Revelation 9:16. Nobody's willing to listen. It seems they are buying up the South Pacific. When the missiles are launched, it's going to be horrific. Elements melting, fervent heat, Babylon the Great has fallen, prophecy written, prophecy heard. Absurd how we ignore God's word. Don't be taken by surprise. A Wuhan lab, guilty of murder. Don't believe the lies. War is coming. Get ready for angry Asian eyes. What Andy is saying there, you say, can we get this? I'm not sure. Pastor has to approve it. We'll give it to college students. If they can handle it, maybe you can. We'll see. But very discerning. And he writes, like I say, in code. There's a so-called prophet of old called Nostradamus. He wrote in quatrains, and he wrote secretly to hide his message from the authorities. College students believe in him, but what they don't know is every truth he got out of the book of Revelation. But anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the thought that we can be prepared. One thing about Landmark, we are transparent. We're not a put-on church. We're real. Sometimes we maybe seem a little crude and a little rough, but we want the truth out. And we'll do what it takes to get the truth out to people. And I'm kind of going to be doing that this morning, I guess, a little bit. I'm going to ask you to go to Isaiah 57 now, in verse 1 and 2. You got it there? It says, the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He, the righteous, shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. I'm going to stop there. We're going to get back to it. I'm not even going to expound those verses a little bit right now. I want to say that what Andy said in the book is being said in the news, and it's described by news people today as World War III coming. And yes, it is. So how do you know? Because I have a book that's perfect. This one isn't perfect. But the one I have here is. And it is predicted a long, long time ago. And it's still there. You can still read it. Go through Ezekiel 36 through 38 and 9 And the world calls it World War III. We have other names for it. When the northern powers unite and come down against Israel and are destroyed by God on the mountains of Israel, we understand that. But Andy and so many others are stating the obvious. Brother Jeff Cruz and I was talking a little bit this week. A young man, he's not so young now, I guess, but grew up in my church and heard me preaching from before he was a teenager on. He was saying to Brother Jeff, he said, "You know what? As I see the news today and remember back those years when I heard Pastor Carter preach, everything that man said is happening." Say, how could you know? I got a book called the Bible. Amen. And it tells it. It tells it. You know, the truth of the matter is that World War III is a common word today. It's used in the news. President Biden, even in one of his more alert moments, said that Armageddon was close. I didn't know he knew the word. By the way, did y'all know he's been sent to the hospital? What I heard was they sent him because he couldn't stop Putin. I thought you knew the Russian leader's name was Vladimir Putin. You didn't know that? Lord, I got a bunch of carnal, worldly people out here I'm trying to preach to this morning. We'll find out whether I get to preach again after that. But it's obvious World War III is building. You see in the news this week where the Russians shot our drone down and thumbed their nose at us. Did you see the big Chinese balloon that came over? Sure. It just got all the information it wanted, and finally, to save face, they shot it down in South Carolina. Somebody said that maybe they didn't shoot it down because it might have been filled up with that weapon that they call the electronic magnetic pulse. You know what I'm talking about? For years and years, that's been talked about, and they say from a high enough balloon or from a satellite that the Chinese have this thing, that if they get up there, it's sort of like exploding an atom bomb or a nuclear bomb over the whole world, and it will destroy the electrical pulse of the world. Do you know what that would mean to you? You couldn't use your cell phone. Oh, you might get by without the lights in the house, but you couldn't get by without the cell phone, right? Addiction. But anyway, it would disarm our military. It would destroy America in a big way because we are a dependent people now on our technology. And they have talked about that weapon for a good number of years. It's not anything new. It's been talked about for a very long time. So what I'm saying is obvious stuff is building. All you got to do is just get the surface of the news today. The common word, World War III, obvious. The drone, the spy balloon, all that is just symptoms of what is going on. Not only stealing our technology, destroying our young people with their TikTok and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And where in the world are our brains if we had some old-fashioned morals and old-fashioned common sense? We could be in much better shape in our country today. If you saw in the news, one of our higher security officials about just a few days ago said that Iran, by the way, Iran in the Bible is the first one on the list of the northern powers that come against Israel. Persia was the old name. Iran's name's only hardly 100 years old. And that is on the list of those nations that are gathering together. You've got nations like Turkey. You've got Syria. You've got those nations that are going together with a coalition with Russia. And now the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, and the Chinese president had a meeting this week. The Syrian president and the president of Turkey had a meeting. They're all getting together. They sense the weakness that we're in America. Right now, and we are never been like this before. And all that clan that the Bible predicted would get together is getting together, and one of our high security officials said that Persia or Iran is within 2 weeks of having the nuclear weapon. Netanyahu is now the prime minister again of Israel, and he has gone over to some of the countries, and he is letting them know we cannot allow Iran a nuclear weapon, because you got to remember, Israel's not hardly as big as New Jersey. They can't take a first strike. A first strike with a nuclear weapon finishes them off. So they've got to be the ones that strikes first. Folks, we've got a fuse about to be lit that's going to culminate into what the world calls World War III. Are you prepared? Say, how would I get prepared? I'm going to show you here from the text that we read in just a moment. I'm not talking about dry food in the ground. I'm not talking about, and I'm not against this, have all the ammo and guns you want, but that's not really preparing for the big thing that's coming. So I'll get me a bomb shelter. What are you going to crawl out and find when it's over? Right here in this town, and I know I could get my car right now and drive you to at least three houses in this town right now that did have a few years ago, the rats have probably taken them over now, but they did have expensive bomb shelters in the backyards. I've been in some of them. Say, what's wrong with that? It's just not the answer. It's not an answer to have a hole in the ground. You're going to need a hole in the sky. That's the answer, and that's the only way to be prepared. And I'll talk to you about that here just a minute. But the truth of the matter is, all this business that is building and all the warnings that we're getting, and yet the sad truth is, it's ignored. Even in America, even in our churches, apathy just continues on, paying no attention. The answer to America is repent. Turn from our wicked ways. Yes. That's the answer for individuals, of course, but it's the answer for our country. It is the answer. But what are we doing instead? We're trying to become woke, W-O-K-E. We need to become A-W-A-K-E, awake. We need to wake up to what is going on. And today our governor, I thank God for our governor, he's trying to fight this wokeness business into Florida. That's an increase in evil that we're seeing today that is unbelievable. We're seeing people lose their job. I saw where a professor lost his job because he stood up in front of a college class and he said there's only two sexes. But he lost his job. I saw where a medical doctor lost his practice. He didn't lose the practice, but they've got him being investigated, and they actually told him he could no longer offer to pray with his patients before surgery. In America. I'm saying to you that instead of waking up and repenting toward God, we continue to do everything we can to slap God in the face and to ignore his word and to blaspheme him on every hand and mock him in every way. However, this wokeness business, do you know there's a man right now in court being charged by the Biden Department of Justice because he mocked and made a big joke out of Hillary Clinton. Boy, I hope nobody sends my tapes to the Justice Department. Ridiculous, but truth, truth. You can look it up, you can check it out. Sad to say that. I saw where an airplane pilot, one of the airlines we've all flown on. Some of the whistleblowers are coming out now. It's getting so bad. And he became a whistleblower against the airline that he'd worked for years. And he said it is required so much training for the co-pilot that sits side of me to be able to take over in case something happens to me. And he was complaining and blowing the whistle because the company now did not require that training. All they required was they be transgender. I would like to know that plane before I get on it. Yeah. See, that's wokeness. That's politically correct. It's pure stupidity. Is what it is, and it's slapping God Almighty in the face because he condemns that sin in the Word of God. all the way, cover to cover. Read Romans chapter 1. But you know, you think on that just a little bit. The DOJ, Department of Justice, Biden group, has put out a warning and talking about, in fact, the medical world is asking them to. The medical world, the medical association, American Medical Association, has asked the DOJ to prosecute those that are complaining and writing things and saying things like I am now against the mutilation surgery of our kids trying to make a little girl out of a little boy or a little boy out of a little girl. That's going to be a crime? Oh, yeah, because those hospitals that are doing that surgery are making millions off of it. That's what's behind it. That's what's behind it. Mutilating kids. Folks, this is America we're talking about. And it's not some isolated things. We're seeing this pushed on us as being the norm, the way we're supposed to be. And folks that are against it being persecuted and prosecuted. Well, I tell you what, some times are coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? When I joined the Boy Scouts at probably about 9 years old, I remember the motto was, be prepared. Be prepared. Well, that's long gone now, and of course that group is long gone because the homosexual crowd took it over. But the truth of the matter is that's still good advice. And the Bible warns us to be prepared. Is there a way to be prepared? I want you to go back to the text with me now and look at the Bible, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. I want you to notice the phrase two times in the verse, are taken away. And the righteous is taken away. Now, the King James translators put the right words in here. And when you take the word taken away, you'll find if you'll read the verses that Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church, and you'll read and study on the rapture in the Bible, you'll find out the taken away. There's a secret rapture coming. A taken away, if you please, of those that are saved. Are you saved? I want you to know that if you were to go back to the original Hebrew right here, and I never go back to that, best words in the King James, but also in that word taken away from the Hebrew, it carries the word with it, vanish. Some folks are going to vanish one day. It's going to be a mystery. You're going to say, what happened to them? At Christmas time, how many of you ever get to watch over and over and over every Christmas? It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart, his name was George Bailey in the thing. And even if I don't get to watch it again, if I know it's on and I can, I'll isolate the part where Clarence jumps in the river. Anybody with me? You've seen it 100 times. And he jumps in the river. And then George Bailey rescues him, but Clarence is the angel sent to show George Bailey that his life was worth living. Remember? You got it now? We can't go on till you get this deep truth here. Got it? And then in all the events to follow, the one I love the best is when the policeman has got Clarence on the ground and he's wrestling with him, and Clarence has hollered out to heaven for help, and he just vanishes right out of the policeman's hands. I love it. That's the rapture. One of these days, some big brute's going to be beating up on one of God's children and they're just going to vanish. One day the jail is going to be empty. One day all the stuff that the evil crowd is doing today, they're going to have a shock coming, because the time's going to come and the trumpet's going to sound and God's people that are saved are going to go because they're prepared. Amen. Prepared. Not to a bomb shelter, but to a shelter in the sky. Let me show you that shelter. Go to verse 15 in this same chapter. Same chapter. Remember verses 1 and 2 is talking about the righteous man being taken away. Yes, the rapture is hinted at in the Old Testament. Yes, you can see it in this verse right here. Yes, it's a New Testament truth, basically, but yes, here it is. It's foreshadowed. Then we see in verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one," that's God, "that inhabiteth eternity." This word eternity right here is the only time it appears in the Bible. Only time. Oh, you got the word eternal, like the wages of sin is death, but eternal life is, you understand? You got the word eternal. But eternity, where God says he's at. He's the lofty, holy one in eternity, one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Watch this. Now watch it change gear. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Do you get the picture? God, as high as he is in eternity, he dwells there, but he'll also dwell in the heart of one that is contrite and humble. Do you understand what that verse is saying? Saying the one that knows it all, created it all, has all power, wants to live in your heart with you. How does he come into my heart? When I'm contrite, when I'm humble, when I invite him in. And that's the way to be prepared. If you don't have him in your heart, you're not prepared. World War III, yeah, it's coming. The rapture, the secret rapture of the saved, it's coming. It's very, very near, folks. Probably nearer than even I believe. It's real. It's real. Now I ask you again this morning, are you prepared? See, I'm not crying about World War III. I'm not afraid of it. I hate the evil. I'll speak against the evil. I'll fight the evil, but the evil don't scare me because I'm going to rise above it one day. I'm going to be the one, with the one that's lofty and high up in eternity. He's got a place for me. Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You want to be prepared? Go to a prepared place. Jesus has a prepared place for you this morning. Do you know him? Do you know him for sure? Do you know if you died today that he lives in your heart and he'll take you home? Oh, yes, I wish the bad things wasn't happening for our kids following us, but the best way for them and for you, for all of us, is to be prepared because it's going to happen soon. When we see all the world gathering and all the plans they're making, we know the one that's above it all. And the one that has the answer. I ask you right now, will you look in the inner sanctum of your very heart and see, does he dwell there? The high and holy God, is he your God? Does he talk to you? Does he walk with you? Does he minister? Is he the one where your comfort's at? If not, I challenge you this morning to invite him in. Don't let your pride hold you back. Come with a humble, contrite spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you're prepared, and not before. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we took kind of a abbreviated route this morning to get to the truth that every man, woman, boy, and girl needs Jesus in their heart. And they need to know, no matter what the world is doing, no matter what is coming, they're prepared because they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask in this invitation, someone that may have never been here before, someone that's been here many times, I don't know, Lord, you know. I pray they'd open their heart to you today and leave that pew and come down that aisle and say, preacher, I want to receive Christ. I know, I've heard the gospel. He loved me and he left heaven's glory and he died for me on the cross and shed his blood. And I've heard that over and over, but I never received him, never made him mine. And this morning, I open my heart to him and ask him to come in. I pray for that one that needs to leave that seat and come forward and receive Christ. I pray, Father, that no one would leave this building unprepared for the things that are soon coming. I pray your Spirit would speak this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step down to the front here. We invite you to come. Would you meet me here and say, "Preacher, I've been putting it off. I need to be prepared. I'm going to receive Jesus this morning." Would you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Will you come this morning? Let me say to you, as a believer, do you know somebody you love? Somebody you work with? Somebody you live side of? Do you care enough to pray for them? How about you this morning? This lady just came down the aisle to let us know she got prepared yesterday, receiving Christ in her heart. You can get prepared before you walk out the door of this room today. See, he's the high, lofty, lifted up one in eternity, but he loves you enough to come and live in your heart. Wow. He's not untouchable. He's not unreasonable. He's done everything he could to bridge that gap, to come live in your heart, be your Savior. Let's sing another verse, Brother Bert.
Just as
will you come?
I am.
Could be you're here today, you need to move a church membership, or maybe you've been saved and ought to come because you need to be baptized into the church, but most important, get prepared by knowing Jesus. Knowing him, letting him be your Savior.
O Lamb of God, I come.
One more verse, will you come?
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, rich as he.
Look for me. Okay, Sylvia, stand up here with me. Sylvia Moore, come stand up here with me. She got saved yesterday, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Came this morning to let us know about it.
Amen.
And so, Bill, have you had a chance to talk with her about baptism and stuff?
I did. She's
not today. Okay, stand around and look at this crowd. They won't bite. I've tried them several years. She's gotten saved. Do we have a motion to receive her after she understands what to do for baptism? Amen. Okay, great. Be good for you to come by and shake hands with her, welcome her. The Bible says angels in heaven rejoice over one. And there's a whole pile of them got saved this week up there on the soul winning trip. So we praise the Lord for Sylvia getting saved. Okay, one footnote before dismiss. Somebody's going to ask me about Andy's book. I'm not sure about it yet. He sent us a box for the college students, and we'll see where he goes to jail over or not yet. Not really. It's not really that bad. He's pretty wise, very discerning. And one of the things he wanted to say to the college students was, he's kind of He's kind of calling himself one. Now, he's not. He didn't enroll. He didn't graduate. But he's kind of adopted us. And so he's saying, look what one of you've done. He's claiming, he done it on our behalf. He's kind of a character in a way. But we appreciate it. And his discernment is wise when you hear the poetry. It just jumps out of the poetry at you as to what he's talking about. All right. Let's come on down, shake hands with Sylvia. God bless you. Let's be dismissed. Amen.